Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
Hey, good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome and amazing co-host, Jean Adrian. And we are going to talk about a few things. We're going to play around. I think the big thing we want to talk about or we want to mention right now is that we have this incredible book called Realities of Creation. We wrote it. It came out in May. We still would love to have your participation on this and help us get it to, you know, the one of the top sellers on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. We created this book from a telesummit that we did that then went into, you know, us writing the book, and we did 3 telesummits on it. All that information is still available and free at realitiesofcreation.com. And the book included 9 amazing women and their take on how to create. And so we call it Realities of Creation. And mine, of course, is on Power of the Heart, and Jean's is on DNA. And, you know, I recommend it because it's a little book, but it is jam-packed with incredible information and a lot of love and a lot of ways that you can choose to move into creating your own reality. So welcome to the show, Jean. I always love having you on.
Thank you, Lori, and I always love being here.
So we got like a whole load of stuff. I don't even, you know, I think astrology, we can look at that. You talked about something called the Mars Max. I don't know a lot about that, but I don't doubt that there has been something going on. I think the biggest thing that's been going on is that we just had 3 eclipses in a row. And the last one was just a few days ago. So I think the eclipses, you know, the intensity of that energy. We only had 1 lunar eclipse, so that's better than having 2 lunar eclipses and 1 solar eclipse. The solar eclipse usually... Oh, wait a minute. Let me go backwards, because it was 2 lunar eclipse. We had 2 lunar eclipses, which are more intense than the solar eclipse. So the solar eclipse, which falls on a new moon, was in Virgo, and the other two... I guess it was Aquarius and Pisces. So full moons tend to have more emotional impact. So I think the combination of whatever this Mars Max is, plus the combination of having 2 lunar eclipses, plus we also had the last hit of the Saturn square Neptune on September 10th. And that energy will still linger on into October. Saturn and Neptune are very different planets. Saturn is more the, you know, likes to be, I don't want to say restrictive all the time. When I think of Virgo, I think of Saturn. It's, you know, it's very, it's very corporate. It's very specific. It's very detailed oriented. And Neptune, of course, is the planet of your dreams and the spirituality. And so the two coming together really kind of are opposites for sure. They stimulate feelings of anxiety, worry, insecurity, disorientation, disappointment, discouragement, and confusion. And so I think a lot of people have been going kind of through all of this, and the fact that we have all of these lunar eclipses and, you know, just all of this energy. Plus, of course, we also still have Mercury in retrograde, and Mercury will be out on the 22nd, but there's
hallelujah.
Yeah, I know. So I think all of this together is really causing havoc on a lot of people's emotions, because certainly the lunar eclipse is all about emotions. And, you know, Neptune is about our dreams and our spirituality and more fantasy. So we got all of this sort of happening all at once. The one really lovely aspect, of course, is that Jupiter moved into the sign of Libra on September 9th. Now, Jupiter takes 12 years to go through each sign. So most of the signs, or most of them, around 12 to 13 months. We will be in Libra for 13 months, a little more, one or two days more in October of next year. Libra will be all about relationships. So right now, relationships might be a little bit confusing, but having Jupiter in the relationship sign will mean that all types of relationships are going to be looked at. And of course, because it's Jupiter, it's the good luck planet. It's the expansion planet. So people that are wanting to get into relationships, I think this is probably going to be a great year for people, because I think that energy is going to, you know, open up more doorways. So let's not look at this, some of the things that are going to be, you know, challenging us, and let's think about, you know, relationships, because I think that's the one place where we're really going to kind of have some fun. So, but it will mean all relationships, and it may mean, you know, that some of them end, so that it opens more doorways to, you know, the better. So I think Jupiter will help us see, you know, the good, bad, and ugly, but mostly it will focus on the good, because it is the good luck planet. So anything that happens with regards to relationships between now and next October, I think it's the 10th or 11th, it's probably a really good sign. So that's something we get to look forward to. And I think once we kind of get out of this mess, once we get, you know, into October, I think things will definitely calm down. Of course, eclipses, you know, are kind of a 6 week to 6 month kind of energy, but you know, it happens all the time. We're nearing the end of the one cycle, and we're going to be moving into the Aquarius and Virgos. Let me know what the opposite sign of Aquarius is. For some reason, I keep thinking it's Virgo, because it's Leo.
It's not Virgo.
Virgo, because it is. And I always say Virgo just because my most successful relationships have been in Virgo. so that's why I think Virgo. But no, it is Leo. So, of course, Aquarius is all about, you know, the cosmos and, you know, being ahead of the game and kind of, you know, seeing things from a more humanistic perspective. And Leo is all about self. So we can move more into the self-love. So that form, and it apparently is connected to the north and south nodes. So that's just a little bit of tidbit of where we're going to be going to. We just had the very first one. But we still have, I think, one more set of eclipses before we finish up the Pisces Virgo, and then we move into the Aquarius Leo. So we got this energy that's kind of, you know, still with us for a bit. But it will move out, and we will, you know, get to enjoy some of the better energies. It's just, this was a big, big month astrologically, and I think October to December, I think we're going to have a little bit less, and I think it's going to kind of even out. And I know for sure that I am loving the idea of the Jupiter in Libra. I think that's going to be great. We do have another new moon, so I don't know. Some people will say that this is a blue new moon month because it comes at the very end. So we've had two, or depending on where you live, if you're in GMT time, we'll have two in October. But anyway, so we get just a lot of stuff that's going on, and you know, it is what it is, and we'll deal. But I think the worst of it is definitely over. So I think we're kind of moving into a more gentle period. That's my thought. I'm going to stick with it.
Yummy. Well, you know, it's interesting because the day after Jupiter moved direct in Libra, I met a new guy. So, you know.
Lovely.
I know. And, yeah, I was really kind of hanging back on Friday with this eclipse because it was in Pisces, which is my sun and my rising. It wasn't directly connected to either of those, thank goodness. But, you know, it was just a peaceful, easy, gentle
good
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, I had been a little bit apprehensive, but apparently, you know, that was, you know, for naught. I'm really glad to see Mercury moving along because, I mean, even though it's been nothing, nothing critical has happened on my front, I'm going to knock wood, which is my head, if I say that. But it, you know, if you could see the state of my calendar, it looks like somebody threw up purple ink all over it because everything has shifted, changed, you know, rearranged, whatever.
Right.
And it's just been interesting. Testy.
Right.
But, you know, nothing serious, just, you know, nothing that, you know, I stayed in a real nice space about it all, going, okay, it's all right. It's all right. Everything happens in divine time, it, you know, whatever. And it has.
Right. And we'll be moving out of, I think what may have happened very recently is that we finally are out of the Mars retrograde direct period. So I think it's now moving normally again. It started in March of this year. It went into Sagittarius and then it went retrograde. But it retrograde in Sagittarius. We are still in Sagittarius for a few more days, and so we are definitely out of the shadow period finally, but it's taken a good 8 months between you know, Sagittarius, then going back into Scorpio, then going forward into Sagittarius past the direct period. It went direct in June, but it's taken all this time. And Mars, you know, is a pretty quick planet. It usually goes through each sign, you know, almost pretty close to the moon cycle, sun cycle, but not always. It's usually about 6 weeks, but it's almost been 8 months now in Sagittarius and Scorpio, and it finally moves into Capricorn on September 27th. So it's now back in its full, you know, every 2 days it moves. So, It's moving quite regularly again, but yeah. So I think that will finally get people moving again, which is all good. So yeah, it's just, I think we've just been kind of caught up in, you know, this kind of stickiness, because eclipses are, you know, have always been known to kind of give a lot more energy to our moon cycles. And It just has felt a little odd and off. And I know people have been, you know, feeling a lot of tension and lots of different things going on. So, yeah, I think we're good. I think, you know, we'll feel a lot better. We also have Pluto finally coming direct again. Now, again, the outer planets don't affect us all that much, but we kind of feel it, like the outer planets will go retrograde every year. So, and they go retrograde for quite a long period of time, usually like 5 to 6 to 7 months. Pluto's probably the longest because it's the smallest. And so it will finally go direct in 14 degrees of Capricorn on the 26th. And so things will start transforming again. So you'll start to feel good again. Now, I do know that the September 1st eclipse, the new moon eclipse in Virgo, was really good for anybody who wanted to start like anything healthy, because Virgo is all about health. So hopefully you made some changes. Now, again, that energy is still technically around us for the next, well, few weeks. We did go into another eclipse, but that energy, because it is an eclipse, will have more of an intensity. So if you haven't started a new diet or exercise or, you know, taking care of your health, going to the dentist, whatever it is, you know, this might be a good time to, you know, start something. I kind of started something back in when we had the Aquarius full moon, just because I'm an Aquarius. So I thought, yeah, I'll start something then. So I kind of started a new diet and it seems to be going well. So
me too.
Yay. So yeah, there you go. But the energy of the Virgo new moon will probably, you know, add some extra energy to that. So there's a few things that are good that are going on, and there are a few things that are a little bit challenging. But hey, yeah, that's life.
It is life.
It is life. So I know you wanted to talk about
following my dreams.
That's it. Let's chat about that.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting little process that I've gone through. You know, I've talked about how I'm really almost obsessed with human design and the gene keys process. And so last month I went to Charleston, South Carolina, and I took a weekend intensive on the gene keys and something called the activation sequence, which has to do with your conscious sun, your conscious earth, your unconscious sun, and your unconscious earth off of your chart. And so the facilitators of this class kept telling me that, you know, one of the shadows that I've had to deal with in my lifetime, because it came in my genetics, was giving up on my dreams. And I didn't resonate with that because I thought, you know, I live my dream life. I've got this beautiful cabin on top of a beautiful mountain. You know, I live in peace and bliss and pretty much everything I need. I got it. And I've written all these books and, you know, I've got a good business. And what are they talking about? And, you know, and I couldn't get it. But I kept reading in the gene keys, and all of a sudden there was one that one of my genetic keys has to do with the shadow aspect is inertia. And I'm thinking, well, that isn't me, especially if I've had coffee, you know. But I kept reading it and meditating on it, and what I realized was that what they were talking about with inertia, if you're running this in the shadow, is doing a lot of stuff, but not doing things that are moving you in the direction of your dreams. And I thought, well, I do waste an inordinate amount of time playing spider solitaire on the internet and, you know, messing around in Facebook. And obviously, no matter what my dream is, that's not moving me in the right direction. And so then I started questioning, so what dreams am I not moving in the direction of? And what I figured out, Lori, was I didn't know what my dreams were. I didn't have any dreams. So how could I be moving in their direction? And when did I quit having dreams? You know, and that was a huge eye opener. And as I started looking back on, you know, when did I quit that? It was a long, long time ago. And the process of internal examination that I went through led me to remembrance and realization of my dream. And my dream has always been to be accepted and to be appreciated. And man, when I look back over the trail of carnage of the relationships that I have been through, that where I was not accepted and I was not appreciated, I'm like, whoa, how did this happen? So that's really what I've been working with sort of for the last 2 weeks, is to really get a handle on why would I do that? And how do I shift out of that? And what I actually came to the realization of is that now that I realize what my dream is, this to be appreciated and to be accepted, then I need to make sure that everything that I do has, you know, is actually moving me in that direction. You know, and so just let's take the diet and, you know, diet, health, and hygiene, the Virgo lunar eclipse, or the Virgo solar eclipse, I guess, on the new moon. That, you know, I'm starting to examine before I put anything in my mouth. Hello, is this moving me in the direction of my dream, which is to be my perfect goal weight of 160 pounds. And if it is, then I'll eat it. And if it's not, I just put it back. Hmm. And there are a couple of things that I've actually just thrown in the trash because I knew that they would never be moving me in that direction. And then, you know, I'm just in the very baby stages of a new relationship. And so I am forcing myself to be very present and very conscious and cognizant of everything that I say and everything that I do and everything that I think. Because, you know, one of my dreams is to be in a healthy, happy love relationship where I'm accepted and appreciated. And what I've tended to do in the past has been to just give, you know. And, you know, when I do that, then I end up not being appreciated. People start taking me for granted and, you know, and then want more. And so then I give more because I want them to appreciate me, you know. Mm. And so, you know, I'm having now to make sure that I think before I say, oh, yeah. Yeah, here, I'll do that. Let me pick up that tab. Let me drive. You know, it's a whole new gene that's emerging.
Yay. And I think, yeah. You know, the thing about relationships is the compromise thing. And, you know, right. Compromise is great if both parties are compromising. And then it has to do with the commitment level of both parties. I mean, I think... Well, it's very well written and known that women focus on relationships and men focus on career. And although, you know, we as women are very strong and independent women and we certainly focus on our career, our main desire is still relationship and not just, you know, romantic relationship, but all relationships. Relationships are what drive us. Where for men, it is more the career and the work aspect. And at your age, you know, I guess men are getting to a point where they're either retiring or they're starting, you know, some sort of self-employment or whatever. I don't know. You know, I think that happens with all of us, especially in right. The more spiritual realm. But, you know, it's, you know, men's focus has never been about relationships. Sure, they want to be in one. Because they like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole idea of compromise and the commitment. So there's so much to that in having a healthy relationship that you want to make sure, you know, that compromise thing, the giving, that aspect. One, we don't give with expectation because we think, you know, if we give, then they'll like us more and they'll stay around. And, we go through that whole thing in our head because we all want people to like us no matter what. And men, like, it's like their whole, they think, you know, to be in a relationship means to be able to take care of the person. So their whole focus is more on a physical thing of taking care of by being successful. And so their focus is never on, you know, how to be in relationship. It's how can I keep the relationship going by focusing on my career? It's funny, yeah. Right?
Like, well, you know, and then when I went back and looked in my gene keys, my challenge point in my genetics is the 40th gene key, which has to do with the shadow aspect of it is exhaustion. Mm. And the repressive nature of exhaustion says these are the people who lack firm boundaries in life. People with this nature equally easily acquiesce to manipulation by others, lacking the will to stand up for themselves. And it says these people will give of themselves tirelessly and usually to people or organizations who never really care about them, which is, you know, walking away from my dream. And, yeah. And it can actually affects me physically because what it does to my body is it creates exhaustion.
Right. You know? Well, I think Yeah. There's a lot of us that have relationship stuff, but yeah, no, that's interesting. I got the books and I still haven't looked through my gene code yet, but I'm going to now that you've kind of brought it up, because I know that there was something about the shadow and I'm going to look at that. So that'll be interesting to see if I can compare with, but you know, I think we're all kind of the same. We all have these unconscious beliefs that kind of are in the collective unconscious that sort of affect women and affect men. And our focuses are always different, but at a certain age, they kind of meld. But it's the commitment thing. Men commit themselves to being successful, or when they're not successful, you know, then they get really caught up in, you know, their problems. Like they can't focus on anything but, you know, trying to get themselves out of that place. And we've all done the whole, you know, financial thing. We know what that's like, and there is nothing worse. But for a man, it's, you know, that's their whole identity. And then for women, our identity is around relationships. So it's an interesting paradox. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're caught in a paradox of, you know, what we want. And, you know, again, as women, as anybody, we all want to be loved and love. We all want to be appreciated. We all want to, you know, be seen. And of course, it always has to start with ourselves. You know, we have to be able to be for ourselves what we're looking for outside of ourselves, because it's always a reflection.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's interesting. I find, you know, the whole philosophy of, you know, where people get stuck and all of that very fascinating. Like, very fascinating. Because I think, you know, we give so much power away to everything outside of ourselves. And although a relationship is outside of ourselves, it always is the relationship within ourselves that creates the relationship outside of ourselves. And it's interesting. And all the things that happen and how we, you know, get caught up and, you know, that divine spark within us, that incredible, you know, unlimited, infinite essence of who we are, that's never going to change. And we forget, like we just keep forgetting because we get caught up in the everyday stuff, and we keep forgetting that there's this perfect essence of an enlightened being that is within us. It's just this physical body in this physical world continues to confuse us, continues to put our focus outside of ourselves. And that's where we get caught up and we forget. And the only thing we need to do is to remember. I mean, it's the only goal and thing that we have is to remember this pure, infinite essence that will never die, that will never, you know, that doesn't have to change or be fixed or healed. It's perfect. We just keep focusing on all the things that we can do instead of how we want to be. And so when you focus on your dreams of being appreciated, and adored, you know, all of that is really, do that from the inside. Be that. Be your own cheerleader. Be your own lover, your beloved.
Absolutely.
And everything will come. Yep. All right. Why don't we go for our first break? It's probably going to be our only break. You are listening to News for the Heart. If you want more information about Jean, go to our website, jeanadrian.com. Myself, Lori Houston, and at intuitivesoul.com. And we've been getting to the heart of what matters. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome and amazing co-host, Jean Adrian, with me. And Jean's going to talk about some of the things she's doing and I believe the completion of her book. But just before that, I thought we would chat on... I've been doing Emmanuel Dagger's core attunements, and I find Emmanuel pretty incredible. And the one that kind of touched me the most, I've been writing about it in my blog a couple times, so I've got two blogs on it. The one, the last one was Intimacy and Intumisi, which was all about divine relationships. If you want more information, just check out my blog. It's the latest one that I wrote. I think my next blog is going to be on, it was on abundance. And, you know, he talked about service. And, you know, the one area that we really need to focus on is our service. So it doesn't matter what you do. Really doesn't. It doesn't matter if you're a healer or you are a janitor. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. It's how you are, how you're present and focused, and whether it's helping the world. So the service. So what you do or how you are can change the service you're offering the world. And that service is just, think about it though. Think about what you are doing to assist the world. And again, it doesn't matter what the job is per se, but it's how you are in the job and whether you're assisting and helping other people. And that's really, you know, that's a really huge thing. Like, what are you doing to change the world? And when you come from it from that perspective, other than, you know, what can my job do for me or what can my work do for me, but shifting it outside as in what can I do for the world, how can I help people change or the world change or become better, that's when we move out of the me concept, out of the ego concept, because the ego is all about me, 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 and what can this person do for me, and what can this person do for me, and what can this job do for me, and, you know, am I going to be making enough money? And so we're all focused, you know, very much inside ourselves instead of, you know, how can my work change the world? How can I serve and offer service to the world? So it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, a janitor is actually a great one because we actually need to clean up. So that's a great thing for the planet to clean up. But of course, we can all do that. And that's one of the big focuses that he had. The other thing that he talked about was tithing. And I thought that was interesting because in the beginning it was like, oh, I don't know that I tithe enough. But really tithing is not, well, it is talked about in the Bible. And of course, that is where the definition sort of kind of stems from. And of course, the religious institutes will tell you that tithing happens when you give to the church. And I'm not entirely convinced that that's the best place to put our tithing.
No. Well, you know, I mean, many years ago, I heard a Unity teacher by the name of Edwene Gaines. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's pretty profound and very dynamic. And she said something that got my attention. God, this is 15, 20 years ago. She said that, yes, it's a universal law that you should tithe.
Yes.
However, she said, you need to tithe to the things that feed your soul. Maybe it's your massage therapist.
Right.
Maybe it's the person who bags your groceries at the grocery store. And, you know, and that, you know, this thing about giving it to an institution, not so much.
No.
But it's whatever feeds your soul.
Right. And he, you know, he talked about, you know, it being a certain percentage. And it should go to, you know, the healers or the people that you want to give to. And so, but for us that is in the field, he had an interesting take. And I found it quite profound. In fact, I had to, of course, email him to make sure that that was what he was saying. But he included time.
Mm-hmm.
He included the time that we give freely to people. So our shows, our blogs, the things that we give to the world. And, you know, he talks about, you know, doing volunteering. And volunteering is a lovely way to, one, give service to the world, and to give tithing to the world, because again, it's our it is our time and
That's why I have those 15-minute complimentary sessions that anybody can take advantage of on my website.
Right.
And I don't limit them.
Right.
You know, and I don't usually limit them to 15 minutes.
Right.
We just do what we need to do. But yeah, that's what that is. That's my tithe.
Right. And that as long as you are saying you are giving that as your service and to the world, then that's how the universe gives back. Like that is how and why the universe gives back. So it's not specific in, I mean, for people that have, you know, full-time jobs and they have money and they're not really doing anything for others, then they are the ones that should be tithing to, you know, their favorite healer, or, you know, do that kind of tithing. And it should be a percentage of their income. But if you can give your time, I mean, you know, it's monetary value has been a very new concept in, you know, the world. Prior to that, of course, it was our time, or it was our bartering. You know, that was, you know, how we tithed. So yeah, It's an interesting way of looking at how the universe and the universal laws work with us, and how we shift our focus from me to, you know, how can we serve the world? What is our service? And offering that service without expectation. Of course, the expectation thing is, you know, the big one. And yeah, I have, you know, I think that's when we get caught up the most, even when we think, you know, we're doing the right thing. If the person has a certain expectation and they're still not ready to let go of certain things, then it becomes, you know, then it's that battle between, you know, what our expectations is, what their expectations are, and whether their expectations get fulfilled. Like, it becomes kind of messy. But as long as we're not focusing on our expectations, but on how we can give, I think it's a pretty beautiful way to look at both tithing and our work. So that's going to be my next blog. I'm not quite sure what that's going to be named or anything, but it will be my October blog. So look cool. for it. All right. You have some things you want to talk about. So go for
yeah.
it.
You know, I'm really passionate right now about how we can really unlock the keys to our potential by accessing our DNA. It's this gene key stuff that I was talking about. But, you know, many years ago, I created that deck of cards called Reconnecting Soul, that you can look at the glyphs and meditate with the glyphs and activate aspects of your DNA. I've taken it a step further, or actually a quantum leap further, I think, and I'm just now completing a web-based class based on these 142 activations. And so it's 9 movies, and each of the movies has between 10 and 20 activations included in it. And it's really profound. And so if you guys are interested in that level of, you know, unlocking your potential, it's on my website, jeanadrian.com/classes. And it's the Reconnecting Soul 142 DNA Activations class.
Cool. You also said that you were finishing a book that
Yeah, I made it powerful. Into a book. I put the finishing touches on the book last week. And so I've given it to the universe, and I've said, all right, I don't know what's supposed to happen with this, but, you know, here's spirit, you know, it's up to you. We'll figure it out. There you are.
Now your courses are going to be, you can get them online. You don't have to join the live ones. So
no, it's totally all, it's all online. It's all recorded video. Cool. So it's 9 sessions that you do one at a time, slowly, because, you know, they're very, very powerful, and you don't need to put yourself into overload.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we are good to go.
Cool.
All right. So you have been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters. If you would like to talk more about Jean and find out what she's doing, connect with her website, jeanadrian.com, myself, Lori Houston, at intuitivesoul.com. And we'll be back next month. I know that we are doing a show with you on, I'm going to say October 3rd.
I think that is it.
And our next show on News for the Heart should be the 17th. Or was that the show that there was some sort of problem? You were driving somewhere or something?
Nope.
Okay, perfect. All right, so those are the dates, and I hope you enjoyed it. We've been getting to the heart of what matters, and we'll be back next week.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.